This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Monday, March 8th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. For tech startups, the traditional path to going public includes raising rounds and rounds of venture capital funding along the way. Founders spend a lot of time convincing VC firms and other investors to give them money so they can keep developing their product before eventually taking their company public. But in the past year, another route to the public market has emerged through so-called blank check companies, also known as SPACs. On today's show, our reporter Heather Somerville will explain the trend and the potential impact. That's after these headlines. U.S. officials are accusing Russian intelligence agencies of attempting to undermine confidence in Western coronavirus vaccines, using online publications to question the vaccine's development and safety. Even though the outlet's readership is small, officials say the false narratives they circulate could be amplified by international media. The disinformation campaign plays on existing anxieties about the vaccines, like potential side effects, which U.S. Census Bureau data shows is one of the biggest reasons some people are hesitant about the vaccines. A spokesman for the Kremlin denied that Russia was orchestrating any such campaign. More cybersecurity news. Chinese hackers are suspected of a cyber attack on Microsoft's Exchange email software that's believed to have infected tens of thousands of businesses, government offices, and schools in the U.S., according to people briefed on the matter. Microsoft declined to comment on the scope of the attack. The company said it had provided a software patch to fix bugs the hackers exploited, and that it was working with government agencies and security companies to mitigate the incident. China has previously denied involvement in attacks targeting American businesses. All right, after the break, more Silicon Valley startups are taking an alternative route to the public market. We'll have more on how it works and what it means for companies and their investors next.
This podcast is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm you share something with, listening. They take the time to understand you and your business so you get the best solution, not more noise. Start a conversation at gt.com.
For decades, the typical life cycle of a startup has gone something like this. A couple of people start with an idea. They get some seed money from family and friends, or maybe an angel investor. Then they go on to raise rounds and rounds of venture capital. And eventually, if they don't go out of business or get bought by a bigger company first, they go public through an IPO. But in the last year or so, we've started to see a new trend taking shape. Companies are increasingly going public using something called Special Purpose Acquisition Companies, or SPACs. Since the beginning of 2020, investors have poured more than $130 billion into SPACs. And it looks like the trend isn't going away. So for more on this and its potential impact, we turn to our tech reporter, Heather Somerville. Hey, Heather, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Amanda.
Okay, so first things first, what are SPACs and how is this process different from the traditional model?
Yeah, so SPACs are, as you said, special purpose acquisition companies, and they're not new, but over the last year, they've been used in new ways, and they've been used much more frequently by tech startups than ever before. And so what's happening is these investors create these SPACs, as they're called, and these are basically pools of cash that trade on a public market, on an exchange. And their sole purpose is to find a target, and that target is a private company, a startup, acquire them, give them a bunch of cash, and take them public. And this has happened with tremendous frequency over the last year in ways that we haven't seen among early stage startups. So what we are seeing are a lot of companies that don't have any revenue, are years away from making money, in many cases don't have working technology, don't have a full-size prototype, are sort of in the big, bold ideas and ambition stage, but not much more than that, being acquired by SPACs and being taken public. So what is different is you have companies that may not even project earning money for another few years that are already public and already trading on the public markets, like the New York Stock Exchange, and retail investors are buying shares of these very nascent, unproven companies.
And why are SPACs gaining so much traction? What's in it for the companies?
It's become popular for a couple reasons. One is we're in a market situation where there is a tremendous amount of capital that is seeking a place to go to make returns. We've been in a near zero interest rate economy for a long time now. And meanwhile, the tech market is going gangbusters, and investors are increasingly looking for new ways to make money. And so their tolerance for risks, like the risk associated with very early unproven companies, is much higher. So there's a lot more interest. And for the companies, this is a fairly easy, fairly quick way to get a lot of money. That's the main attraction. And so particularly in companies like space tech, companies building batteries, companies building electric vehicles, these are really capital intensive businesses where traditionally you'd spend years raising money, doing R&D, trying to build your product, trying to, you know, beg a venture capitalist for more money and more money. Well, why do that when in one fell swoop, you can raise several hundred millions of dollars and join the public market and get enough money to fund your company for several years? So it's very attractive to a lot, for a lot of these companies.
So where does all this leave the venture capitalists? Isn't this sort of upending their traditional VC model?
You would think, but that certainly hasn't happened, at least as of yet. I would say venture capitalists, in some cases, really critical of it and sending a lot of caution out that when you have this number of unproven nascent startups going public, many of them are bound to fail. And there will be a lot of value destruction along the way. At the same time, we also see venture capitalists creating their own SPACs. So they want to get in on the game too. And I will point out that even though these are companies that are being taken out of the venture capital market when they go public through a SPAC, the early investors who seeded those companies are getting a big payday and are able to cash in early on. And that's a pretty good deal for them. So you don't hear a lot of grumblings, at least as of yet, from this community.
And I want to talk more about some of those risks associated with this SPAC frenzy. We're talking about largely unproven companies putting themselves on the market for any investor, big or small, as you mentioned, to potentially put money into.
So this flipping of the script from startups really growing with venture capital money to going public so early through these SPACs, it shifts so much of the risk from institutional investors to retail investors. Now, venture capital firms, they invest money from other investors known as limited partners. These are by and large not people investing their own personal money. This is institutional money. And venture capital firms are built to absorb high rates of losses as long as a few companies succeed. Now, you move over to the public markets, and a lot of the investors participating in these new startups going public are retail investors. Many of these investors are buying 100 shares or so at 10 bucks a piece. You know, they're throwing in a little cash that they have on the side to try to get a piece of a new exciting company. But these investors have no protection. They often have much less information about the company. And many times they're being sort of excited and tantalized by pitches from these startups that are projecting earning billions of dollars in just a few short years. We're seeing pitches from companies that don't even have products yet, where they are saying that they're going to hit revenue that Google and Facebook didn't hit for many more years. So there could be a lot of disappointments to come. And again, the exposed investors are these mom and pop, these amateur traders who are excited about a company, but don't have the institutional protections that a venture capitalist does.
Heather, it sounds like they're kind of democratizing the risk associated with investing in an early stage startup. Aren't they also kind of democratizing the potential benefit?
Yeah, and I think that's a fair thing to say. For so long, so much of the wealth creation from technology startups has been limited to a very small number of people, venture capitalists and other types of mutual funds and private equity firms that are able to have access to these companies in an early stage and gain from the wealth that they create. And then they go public, and oftentimes these companies don't grow very much after they go public. So this changes that and certainly does create an opportunity for more types of people, retail investors, everyday people, to enjoy some of the wealth creation from these young companies. This SPAC trend can also help completely legitimate companies that, for some reason, are overlooked by venture capitalists. Perhaps they're located in the Midwest or the Southeast or other parts of the country that don't have much venture capital deal making. Maybe they're in a sector that doesn't get much attention from venture capitalists, or perhaps a competitor has eaten up all of the private capital that's in the market. And the money from a SPAC could help these companies succeed when, if they were left to depend solely on venture capitalists, they might not.
All right. That's our reporter, Heather Somerville. Thanks, Heather.
Thanks, Amanda. Good to be with you.
That's it for today's tech news briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.